This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It is a Tuesday, 23rd of July. We're almost at the end of this month, and then you know what they say. August, you're downhill to Christmas, so forget about it. The year is almost over. All those big plans you had for 2019, if you haven't got them in action yet, forget it. It's never going to happen, right? It's done. Joining us this morning, Leanne Moll, C.S. Ungready, and Alan Ford.
It's good to be with you.
Good morning.
Morning, Al. Alan was waiting in the parking lot. He was walking back and forth trying to keep warm at, 1 degree Celsius?
Exactly, one degree.
Yeah, and he was wandering around, and I suddenly felt, oh, God, I'm back at 7:02 doing the morning show.
Oh, flaming Alan Ford.
It was crazy because I haven't been up, well, I mean, I've filmed, but it's so interesting to be up so early and fresh.
Yeah, you haven't been up for radio in years.
Yeah, like for this, years.
Wow. Well, talking about radio, we're busy setting up this big talk shop tomorrow. We've got a whole lot of big names in radio. It's like a kind of a mass gathering of really powerful broadcasters. We've got a couple of names. Let me go through a few of them. There's DJ Sboo, there's Fat Joe, there's Tebow Touch, there's Robert Marawa, who's going to come and join us. He's just back from Egypt. There's DJ Fresh, who I'm still waiting for a confirmation on, but there's been a lot going on in his life this week, so he's obviously a little bit busy. We'll talk about that in a minute. And and a few others, too. We're going to have a big talk shop about like the future of broadcasting and kind of where it is and what's changed.
That was my first essay.
Really?
Yeah, when I was finishing off at varsity, getting my degree in journalism,
yeah,
and I saw an advert in the paper. Those are the days.
Maybe we should have you.
And the title of the essay that you had to write in order to be accepted as an intern at the SABC's first ever internship program was The Future of Broadcasting. Mm-hmm. And I literally put something together within 10 minutes. And I was one out of 10 people out of 20,000 people who applied to be accepted.
Amazing.
Did they ever take your advice?
What did you write about? What did you say?
I don't remember. And I mean, it's not like I saved it on a computer. I probably wrote it on a typewriter.
Did you say, we will continue to listen to gramophone records until we have
run
out.
I was going to ask, what was the history of broadcasting in the 60s?
You know,
sorry, Lee.
I saw this kind of pathetic tweet from one of the DJs. I mean, I might as well name him. It was Rob Forbes, and I don't follow him, but somebody alerted me to something he said. You can look it up. He says something like, oh, you know, radio is so hard and people's lives get shattered. And, you know, he's always been a nice guy, but we all know what nice guys end up doing in radio. They finish last. And he was saying, where is it? Let me just read this to you.
When did you see this?
Alan Ford appointed.
He goes, yeah, this is the sad thing, right? No one ever asks. There are at least 3 people on 2 shows whose careers and lives and financial security are upside down. This is what he says.
Is he referring specifically to
himself?
5FM?
No, he's referring obviously to the 2 guys who were doing afternoons on 947, where Fresh is going to, and to whoever was on his show, who he's leaving behind on Metro. I don't know what the whole city. I honestly don't know because I haven't been listening. But anyway, he's talking about these people who are the non-stars in radio who get displaced when a big star comes in. This is how it works. It's unfortunately, and I know a lot of people think that the world is equal and everybody has the same opportunity and even everyone has the same outcome, and they don't. Like, some DJs are meant to win and other ones are just there to hold the space.
But that's life.
Yeah, of course it is. But he doesn't seem to understand this. But Rob Forbes, who's always been doing non-drive time shows, listen to this quickly. He goes, radio is not for the faint-hearted. Our job security is zilch. If you want loyalty, get a dog.
Oh, we heard that. We heard that years ago. Actually, you and I heard the same. It was told to us when we did the morning show.
Like, dude, just really. You've been paid to talk shit between songs for how many years now? You don't realize how lucky you are. If you haven't made a plan for some real employment after that, you're kind of waiting for the inevitable.
Can I ask you something about tweets like that, which I don't get? All right, just help me here.
It's a woe is me.
Why are you not specific?
What do you mean?
We'll refer to the 2 shows or the 2 people you're talking to.
Well, maybe they're friends of his. I don't know.
He's not that sort of person.
Maybe it comes from a nice place. I don't know. It just kind of struck me as very pathetic.
Okay, but for example, let's say he's referring to Fresh. Okay.
Sure, that's what he's referring to.
We don't know because he doesn't say it. But
definitely.
But don't you think that he's lined up something else? He's getting paid probably at the new radio station exactly the same thing. So what does it mean there's no job security?
Well, he's talking about the people who've been moved. And you know what? This is the truth of the industry, though. I get what he's saying. And yes, it might be sad in inverted commas, but it's also reality of the industry.
It is.
We've known this all along when you first got into radio.
Of course you do. Yeah. I mean, I was constructively dismissed once.
You were constructively dismissed? What does that even mean? 72.
I was.
What's the constructive part of being dismissed?
Okay, what happened? Go on, let's hear this story. What happened to you?
You brought it up, so now you have to just tell.
First and foremost, when there was a change in management at 702, I was there were a few of us that heads were on the chopping block. If you didn't suck the hind tit off a donkey, and I didn't suck the hind tit, so basically they wanted to move me from doing breakfast show producing and doing on air work to go, and John Colani was doing Talk at Nine to go produce John Colani. So there you first, you know, you're on your way out. Okay, nothing wrong with John. I love John, but there's the first thing. Second thing was I wasn't given a pay increase. And then the third thing was I then walked into HR and said, listen, give me a settlement, let's walk out. But it wasn't fun because you were basically getting fired.
Oh, you initiated it, though.
No. They were. No. A constructive dismissal is basically making your life so uncomfortable
that you want to leave.
Oh, juicy.
I've never had in most of my radio career clever enough managers to constructively dismiss me. They were mostly too stupid to figure that out.
And then in TV, I've done it a few times to other people.
The shade this morning.
Well, listen.
There's a lot going around.
I think a lot of people, no matter what business you're in, you could be in engineering, you could be a marketer, you could be in... You could be a personal assistant to somebody. There are some circumstances you should be able to man up and go, I'm out of here. This is not for me anymore. And if you realize things are not working for you and you've got insecurity about the job and, you know, it's a terrible, let's say things are just really onerous and they make it very uncomfortable and they treat you badly and they give you a desk, but they give you nothing to do all day. You got to know that they want you out. So don't let them make the move.
Yeah,
you
take
the
first.
Move. Yeah. Like the minute you can see things aren't going your way, it's humiliating to take like the second best place or whatever else it is.
I took the advice from my former boss, who actually runs this radio station.
Yeah.
He said, go now and go and get cash in quickly.
Well, I think what makes the media and broadcast industry different to a lot of other industries is... You know, when you are an accountant, you know what the barrier to entry is. You know when you're doing a great job. You know when you aren't. You can be held accountable. Sometimes the media and broadcasting industry is very fickle.
And also, everything happens in public.
You're like, hot today, you know, you aren't tomorrow.
You lose your job in media and it's in the newspapers.
Bless you. Sneeze on the truth,
and these days,
brother.
You see, even in the media business, you sneeze and it's public. But it these days it's all over social media and people speculate about your future and they question whether or not you made the right decision.
Mm. Yeah, nobody, it doesn't happen when you get fired from accounting.
No, if you're the star accountant, if there is such a thing, you get dismissed.
It's the CEO.
the star accountant gets pushed out, you know, and then nobody's going, wow, you know, he was the star accountant, the business is going to fail because of him. Some smart people might realize that, but too late usually.
But if you're not doing your job properly and then...
Yeah, I wish there were so many people in government who just realized that they're no good at their job, and if they just would have the balls to go, you know what, this is not for me.
I fired a popular television presenter because they were a diva. Right off set, goodbye, cheers.
Dude, you're not scared of anyone, I can tell, right?
Which
you got
dude?
That vibe about you, hey?
Gareth.
Yeah, Gareth.
Are you talking about Sia? He's pretty
Gareth,
fearless.
Sia is quite a dude.
Have you met Rina?
All right, yeah, Gugu. Well, maybe.
What happened between you and Justine Cullinan? I heard rumors at the time.
Who's
Justine? Who you talking about? She wasn't even station manager when I was at five.
She was marketing.
She was in marketing. We never had any beef.
No,
I didn't. Okay. Why? What did you hear? Let me. I love this. Yeah, what did you? What did you hear?
At the time, I heard that you got demoted to a lesser prime show, and you were like, "Fuck this shit. I'm out of here."
Well, first of all, she wasn't my boss, so that's
erroneous. She had nothing to do with it.
And you never were demoted.
5FM didn't know I was leaving until the audience knew I was leaving.
Yeah.
So they were caught. Right. You, Leanne, you found out what? A week before?
Yeah. And that's when...
And everybody thought it was an April Fool's joke.
Yeah.
And management were caught with their pants down, taking a big shit, and they had no idea what to do.
So who was station manager, Tim?
Aisha Mohammed.
Ah.
Who was it, Aisha?
She's head of SABC3 now.
Yes.
No, she's left.
She's moved into
Oh, great. I've been back into SABC3.
Management didn't know up until the day, and that's why I was nearly body slammed because I had a bottle of tequila in front of media.
Really?
There was media congregated that morning. Gareth had brought some tequila and was like, you go out this year. You offer all of the media tequila. They'll be happy. And I walked around.
Here's my thing too. And I don't want to turn this into a whole discussion of just radio, because actually it's boring and who cares? I don't even care. I don't listen to any of this anymore. But the fact is, if you don't cash in when you're at the top of your game, before you start to slide, and this is a problem a lot of people have in lots of businesses, even you see it with CEOs, they just hang on just a bit too long. If you don't cash in at the top, then people will always go, oh, well, he was pushed.
Don't be a barnacle.
Instead of he jumped, right? And that was something I never wanted to happen. I didn't want it to happen with Idols. I didn't want it to happen with Five. I didn't want it to happen previously at 702. So you get out while you're at the top. You quit while you're ahead. And you leave them wanting more. And you never ever leave on their terms. You leave on your terms.
Yeah, and 10 years into Three Talk, exactly, I did the same thing. And people said, "You're mad. You've just signed a 3-year contract, a brand new contract. Why are you selling it?" I'm like, "Because I'm bored and I need to move."
How's Nolene? I haven't Nolene Maholwana Sanku.
Oh, yes.
I lost.
Where's she?
We launched the show. This is the best thing. We wrote her a jingle.
Talking about reminiscing.
We wrote her a jingle.
Let's go down memory lane.
Seriously, we wrote her a jingle.
Uh-huh.
And the jingle was, "Everybody loves Nolene. Everybody loves Nolene."
Sounds great.
It was
the most. So when I phoned her, I saw the ad. I was in archives, and I started laughing. And I said, "This is the most ridiculous thing in the world." And she's the first shot for the first 4 seconds. She's in a fire station, then walking out of a hospital door, then holding a baby in the nursery.
Oh, that's actually fabulous.
No, but it's so cheesy. She's well. She's well. She's there. She's on earth.
Following her on Instagram is now one of my favorite pastimes.
What is she doing?
She has a farm in the Eastern Cape as well.
Is she farming?
So she spends half her time here in, like, you know, the northern green suburbs of Johannesburg in Christian Louboutin.
Yeah.
And then she spends half her time on the farm in Eastern Cape. Yes.
In a duck and a blanket.
Yes.
Exactly. I saw Bassi in a photograph. Bassi Sunday, come on. Was it in the same traditional?
Oh, what a fabulous life they must just lead. So she's busy just living her life on a farm somewhere.
But she also lives in Sandton. So. Maybe we should try phone her.
Ellen, no, she's...
I don't need to. This is like when you have those. I've never been to a school reunion, and I think it must be horrible. Some people like to go to these things, but the people I'm friends with after school, and there are a few, are the people I want to be friends with after school. I don't need to go to some reunion and see the people I don't want to be friends with again.
No, definitely not.
And it would feel weird to, like, call someone up and go, "Hey, you like that kind of thing. You like that schmaltzy stuff where you get together with people and you
know, phone people.
Let's reminisce about like the past."
Have you never been to a school reunion?
No way.
The
first one I was invited to, we were told we could go to Galuli's farm and bring the kids. I was like, "Fuck that. What am I going to sit there with my bottle of vodka and watch children play? No, thanks." That's when I knew it wasn't for me.
Yeah, that's me.
All right. There's a lot going on in the news. We'll get to some of that later on. There's plenty of. I put this thing up on Instagram and Twitter yesterday. It's got a hell of a reaction.
Is it what I saw?
What did you do?
You were not mincing your words last night.
Well, a friend of mine put this up on his Instagram, and I thought it was brilliant. So I just reposted it. Mm-hmm. It's from, I think it was an article that was written by Bill Bryson. I'm not sure what the source is. So I couldn't give it credit. Uh-huh. If I'd known, I would have given it credit. You have influence when you provide value and you make someone's life better. You do not have influence because 20,000 people liked a photo on their way home from work. True influence comes from not calling yourself an influencer, but from what you actually do and the example that you set. If you do video, you're a vlogger. If all you do is post pictures on Instagram, you're an Instagram photographer. That is something you do. That is a definable job. And it goes on, but that was the part that I took out. And I posted it and said, this is how it works. Write it down. Pay attention. Maybe you'll get to matter one day. Thanks for this. And then I thanked my friend. I said, and while I'm at it, if any Insta whores flood my feed with shitty products that you got for free because every brand knows you're not worth paying an actual endorsement fee, which is what happens. Mm-hmm. Right? These brands, like it's a clothing brand or whatever, they give some person who's got a 1,000 followers, they give them a t-shirt and they say to them, please wear this in a post. And they'll do it for a free shirt. It's like these ANC voters who will vote ANC for a free shirt.
And some biscuits.
You know, what you're really saying is, I can be bought for just about anything, including some shitty third-rate t-shirt.
Mm.
I said, I will block you. I'm not interested in your crappy t-shirt or lipstick or teeth whitener. When Instagram starts hiding likes, you'll have to go back to actual prostitution to pay for your next item.
That was the line that got me.
So I said, and I don't know whether I'm actually going to do this because it would require some work and I'm not that interested in Instagram to have to spend the time working. But I said, for the next 3 weeks, I will take screenshots of everyone who does this and put it in my story.
Ooh. You really should do it.
Should I?
Yeah.
You think people would like it?
I'm so bored of it. I'm so bored of no, nothing wrong with some person that's just because they're a bit pretty, mm-hmm. and then taking a picture of how they eat a piece of chocolate cake at Tash's. And I think to myself, oh my God, what is wrong with you? Like, really? Who cares about your...
The weirdest...
I'm surprised by this response, Alan.
You want to hear a weird response? Some of the people who do this are the ones who responded to me and went, oh, that's so true. But then I look at their timeline and it's flooded with precisely the shit that I've just spoken about.
I'm seeing the responses were generally good.
Very good. But a bit of a bizarre twist on this is that these people... don't see themselves.
They aren't aware.
Yeah, they're not aware at all.
Someone called them influenzas.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Actually, that's not a bad one.
Genius.
No, but you see it, especially when you go to more and more events here. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, and what I'm saying, you don't have to be traditional media. But they're inviting these people that firstly can't write their blogs properly because, quite frankly, they're not journalists, number one. Number two is these people come along and then they have an opinion about food, and you talk about David Higgs's pizza from this particular restaurant. And that. Meantime, the guy's 23, 24 years old, hasn't got a degree, and now all of a sudden is a food blogger.
And I'm surprised because you have a lot of time with these people. Yeah,
I don't mind. I'm just saying that you need some credibility. Mm. You need to have some experience, surely. You know, just because I'm pretty and I'm holding up doesn't mean that I know anything about a chocolate cake. Not like that pretty people would be eating chocolate cake, but I'm just saying.
Oh. Pretty people, you know what they do?
It's so silly.
Pretty people take the chocolate cake, they take a picture with it, and they give it to their fat friend. That's what they
do.
And that's how the friend becomes fat. Just push to the side, dochal. I really wonder how the game is going to change in this way.
Because, but if you are a top model, then do that because it's a part of your thing.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
If you are a broadcaster or you are a journalist, great. But I mean, I don't write something about KPMG's financial results and I don't do business. Why would I do that? That's stupid. Don't you think?
Yeah, it's just unrelated. But a lot of it is also just something that really just turns me off of people is this attention seeking. And I think when Instagram does disable their likes, which is probably going to happen at some point, it's not only good for the mental health of those people who are a little bit stressed out and who... You know, there are a lot of young people who are tremendously influenced by this stuff, and it hits them hard when they don't get likes on something, for example.
That's what annoys me more, is the people who follow these people. You know, as mentioned yesterday, I subscribe to a number of YouTube channels. I do follow some influencers, if you would call them that, but they're usually experts in their field.
Yeah, like you said, the makeup people.
And or Meryl Streep. Okay, great. That's a good person to follow on Instagram. You know what I mean?
Meryl Streep isn't exactly like an influencer.
No, I'm just giving you an example. Then those are people that can justify. I don't know.
No, I think the point is just you do whatever you want. I'm not. It's none of my business. But I think the likes have become almost a bit of an opium, and people are chasing them to the extent that they will. I mean, I've seen people on there, perfectly reasonable, rational, sane people, who will put up like naked selfies because they
show me those ones.
They're desperate for the likes. No, and sometimes they get them, which obviously helps with the dopamine and it gets their brains all fired up. It's an addiction. It's like any other addiction. So if we can find a way to help these people, because they clearly can't take control of their own lives, which happens to a lot of us, whether it's a drinking addiction or a drug addiction or a gambling addiction or whatever kind, these people need to have some mechanism where they can shut down the effect of this on them. And I think these likes is probably a good way for us to start. Just stop showing how many likes people get on stuff. Nobody else actually cares. If you like it, like it. Mm. Whatever other people think of it is none of your business.
Mm. On the other side of the scale, I was thinking about this yesterday. If I really was this size 00, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, skinny-meninky model.
You mean me?
Yes, Leanne, if I was you. And I was being offered all of these opportunities. Heck yes, I'd take it because it's easy money and who cares about longevity now. I'm being sent to Greece
to take a picture. The danger is that you, and this is like with anybody in any situation, I see so many people find a quick fix for they want material happiness, right? And if you go for those quick fixes, it is like a drug hit. Because what happens afterwards is it runs out. Like if you're an influencer now on these social media channels and suddenly they ban likes, you don't have an income anymore. So you've gone from having this life where you have holidays and you have all these things that someone is paying you because they get the likes from it. Now it's gone. You drop into this desperate depression and it ruins people's lives. And obviously they're stupid to have fallen for it in the short term anyway. But what can you do?
I want to show you something. A friend of mine, he was quite a conservative Joburg boy, glasses, a little bit nerdy. He posts a picture of himself naked every single day. Every day.
He really is naked.
His bum in every... He's always got clothes, no clothes on. Now, I'm going to ask you, what is this person thinking and doing? A businessman. Well,
you're following him, aren't you?
No, he's a very good friend of mine. And he's got a partner, so there's no reason for him to... He's not trying to pick up anybody. Must you be naked?
Look, I put that much work into my body and how I look going to the gym all the time,
it's got everything to do with
I'll be naked as well.
His body and what he looks
guys, is this a nice bum?
I think Alan Ford, if you...
Is that a beautiful bum?
It's a bum.
It's a bum. It's the most beautiful bum that you've ever seen in your life.
If you had a body like that, you'd probably be posting
I certainly would not. Okay, yes. I mean, really.
You...
I think you would.
I would never show pictures of my bum.
Alan, you'd be walking in here in a red Speedo.
I have dated some of the hottest people that would never do things
Alan
like that.
Alan Ford, how dare you? I mean,
why would I want to show my bum to people?
Give me 5 more years, guys.
Yeah, and would you
I'll
show...
I'll be walking around here half naked just in a string of pearls.
I'm confident in my body. I'm not just scared to go on the beach with a towel and my shirt off. I don't go and show pictures of myself every day taking in the mirror after a shower. Come on.
Listen, if you look... If you look really fantastic, I don't know about that person you've spoken about, but if you look fantastic, I reckon you probably have some kind of a duty sharing that with the world. Just as a...
I get it. Right? FHM,
service
I get it.
Service to mankind.
A hairy bum like that, come on.
No, okay. I don't know about that, but...
I've got the hottest friends. And they don't do that. I don't understand what this person's doing. I want to slap him.
You also want to keep a little bit for yourself or for your partner or whatever. Like, a little bit of... don't share everything. What is it with these people who need to share everything?
If you're not a model if it's not your trade or your business, then I don't see
that's what
point.
I'm saying.
Would you let a stranger into your house?
He's a digital marketing person.
Would you let a stranger into your house? Obviously not. You wouldn't just let some, you wouldn't let 15,000 strangers into your house at once. You know that.
And watch you get out the shower naked. Yeah.
See, I think both that statement and also what she said earlier, Leanne, by saying you're not a model, both those things, though, are now, the lines are blurred there because.
But they're not a model. Why are you showing your bum?
But people think that now and they have the platforms to do so. And now it's just normal that, of course, I can share a story on my Instagram and let people into my life. And it is my own little reality show and I'm broadcasting myself. And I will pose just like Giselle Bündchen. The lines are now blurred.
Yeah, but everyone, that's Giselle Bündchen. That's her job.
Okay, I don't know if we're going to
look at this girl. We've never seen this girl before. Look at her.
Ellen is now just...
Look at this girl. Look at this girl.
Ellen, all right,
I mean, must we see her bum? Is she pretty like that? Did you see her bum?
Ellen, we're not going to win this argument. No one's going to win this argument. People must do whatever they want. Who cares anymore?
Sorry.
All right, so many things to get into. Do you want some news?
Yes.
All right, let's get into the five things you need to know today. First of all, drunk Joburg drivers were arrested in their droves by the Joburg Metropolitan Police Department. Apparently, the Metro Police arrested 890 drunk drivers in the month of June. That's quite a lot.
Yeah, I know of one particular incident in Roodepoort where people were arrested and taken straight to the cells and stayed there overnight.
Were these people you know?
Yeah.
This was revealed by the JMPD's crime stats for June, which were released on Monday by Joburg Mayor Herman Mashaba. The Joburg CBD, Braamfontein and Yeovil recorded the highest number of arrests for drunk driving in 140. 140 people in, I mean, who even drives through the CBD, Braamfontein and Yeovil drunk?
And you know, that's only drunk driving. Just this morning, I stopped at a traffic light and it's one that takes forever. And I could see the car behind me in my rearview mirror, this guy who was sitting there, he was on something.
What do you mean?
He couldn't keep still.
Oh, right. Bouncing around.
Yeah, he couldn't keep still. He was looking at himself in the mirror. Then he was reaching down to pick something up. He was agitated and clearly on some kind of chemical.
Yeah.
And I just
Someone you knew?
Yes, it was... my date from last night.
You guys were leaving the house.
Had it left the harem? Perhaps.
28 people were arrested for hijacking or stealing vehicles, while 83 stolen or hijacked vehicles were recovered.
Well, this day and age, come on, with Uber and stuff like that, surely we're not that stupid anymore.
Yeah, but this is a great move by the Metro Police.
Well done.
And well done to them for recovering those stolen vehicles. They caught a whole bunch of hijackers and thieves, which is very good. And if they arrested some drunk drivers anymore, I agree with you, Al. Why do you need to drive drunk now? You know, everybody goes, well, Uber's kind of expensive. It may be.
Oh, I went out with my car and I didn't realize I was going to get
drunk.
Yeah, but
a shot of tequila is $30. You can spend $60 to get home safely. Come on.
Well, I think so.
Okay.
You know?
There's the first thing. Second thing is something that you've got to think about is, Joe, we've been very lax in terms of Metro Police here. People have been doing it for ages.
Yeah, people don't really care.
You go to Durban. Oh. I'm telling you now, you will not drink and drive between Mshlanga and going off to Durban CBD. Because you'll get caught and you'll go straight to jail. And it's been out there for 10 or 15 years.
Zero tolerance. They don't tolerate. They invented
there's
that.
There's no bribery. There's nothing like that. That Cape Town also still very, very strict. Except that they're not on those wine routes. But, you know, again. But Joburg, we do it here.
Listen, I think people...
And you lived in both cities. Okay, I'm not saying that you... But your friends would do it here.
I drove drunk in both, if that's what you're asking.
Okay.
All right. Juventus star Cristiano Ronaldo will not face any charges over an alleged rape in Las Vegas a decade ago. This poor guy has been living under this cloud for the longest time. Charges have been dropped. Prosecutors said Monday they didn't have enough evidence to proceed. Surprise, surprise. You're a talented sports star who's got millions in the bank. You are going to pick up an accusation or two along the way by some woman who feels jilted. As much as there are real situations like this that happen, and of course, those women must be taken seriously. This is another example of that terrible idea, believe the women, just being wrong in its very instance. You can't just believe someone if they're the victim or if they're the aggressor. You have to test these things. And for someone to have charges for 10 years hanging over their head is just not cool. I think it's like living in a prison anyway. It's effectively prison.
I wish I was that woman in Vegas. That's all I'm saying.
Alan Stephen Ford. Well, nothing happened. Ford.
Nothing happened, Alan, so you would have been joking, left alone I'm in the joking. Hotel room.
Can but, you put but, your tongue back I'm into joking. Your mouth at this point?
Catherine Mayorga, a former model, alleges...
I'd love to see what she looks like. I can't wait to look at it.
Alleges that Ronaldo raped her in a Las Vegas hotel in 2009. The former Man United and Real Madrid forward reached a financial settlement with her 1 year after the incident. He has always denied allegations of sexual assault, insisting their encounter was consensual. But you know, again, after these things, if it didn't go so well, according to one of the parties, all they have to do is say, well, it wasn't really consensual.
Mm.
It does have a chilling effect on relationships, and it kind of makes it very difficult for us to know who to believe in these situations. So if people could just stop making stuff up, that would be the first best step. And if we can take the allegations seriously, knowing that it's highly unlikely, because there's a, let's say there's a punishment for people who allege these things falsely. Mm-hmm. Let's say it costs you a huge amount of money. If you know you're making it up and it gets tested and the courts find that you are making it up, that there's a massive penalty, so that there's a cost, because it's reputations, it's careers. There's a lot that goes on here. And by no means am I saying that in these situations, we should not take the women who do allege these things seriously. Of course we should. But we should also balance it with knowing that there are people who just make shit up to be important. And I don't know who this woman is. Nobody does. But suddenly she's in the news because Cristiano Ronaldo is supposed to have made some unwarranted advances on her. Turns out, not the case. 10 years later, charges dropped.
Sure.
And you said unwarranted advances. Okay.
Yeah.
Which means he hit on her.
Well, okay. He might have done a little more. Right.
We don't know.
But it certainly wasn't rape because they couldn't find enough evidence.
Yeah, and he wasn't accused of rape.
Well, she alleged it.
But, I mean, drunk people in clubs, people get clever, grab your bum. It's unacceptable. I'm just saying.
You've done that to so many people in Joburg.
You do Joburg. It on any sober
grab
day.
Bum every day.
The whole of Joburg would have charges against you, Alan Ford. All right, in Durban... Students associated with the EFF and the ANC student bodies have been protesting at two universities in KwaZulu-Natal over funding and accommodation issues. Student leaders said neighboring institutions may join if the impasse related to academic exclusion and poor accommodation was not resolved. On Monday, groups of students, again, I have to ask with seriousness, are these people looking to go and get a tertiary education so that they can enter the workforce in some meaningful way, or are they looking for a proxy home and a proxy parent in a university? The university is not there to give you a place to live and give you a warm meal every day. That is not the job of a university. If you think that that is the purpose of a university, go and live in a hostel.
I do want to disagree slightly, if I may, right? Because a lot of people have been given bursaries to go and study. And I worked on a project with Rudolf Landmann with Stellenbosch University. And a lot of the guys... can't afford the accommodation.
And you can't go to university. Who was going to pay for my university if I did?
If you're getting a bursary, okay, from government, you need to be given your books as well. Because otherwise, what's it's false hope in some respect.
Yeah, it's like giving someone a...
You've got to be able to feed the people.
So why don't we stop giving people false hope instead of trying to find a way to make everyone else in the country pay for their education?
I'm saying that they're extremely talented. It should be a proper full-on bursary.
If they're so talented, accommodation, go into the workforce.
Proper toilets and clean.
I say you don't need a degree to make yourself useful in the South African economy. What you need to do is get out there and start working. And maybe you want to go and intern for a year. Maybe you want to go and do something which is going to pay you just your travel and transport, but you'll learn. And you'll be far more useful in the workforce than some honors graduate in political science that no one's going to employ anyway. And you've wasted thousands of rands of taxpayer money going to university and getting a degree that nobody cares about.
I don't think that would work for everyone.
No, yeah. If you're an engineer or a scientist or a mathematician, doctors, yeah. Sure.
Mm.
No. Absolutely. But I'm talking about all these other degrees that people are doing in, you know, lesbian dance theory. No one's going to hire you, honey. And you can't complain that the world's unfair and that it's because of institutionalized sexism.
Dog.
There is no reason in the world I'm going to hire someone with a degree in lesbian dance theory.
I wanted to enroll in that course. It was just full the 1 year.
Of lesbians.
That's one of the best and weirdest things I've ever heard in my life.
So anyway, these students are... They've denied politicizing student issues. Oh, you don't say. It's the EFF and the ANC who are behind this. And it's not politicized? Who are you kidding?
Do you know,
to retain
A-N-C
their positions.
ANC and EFF.
That's probably how they spell. student issues to retain their positions as governing organizations at the institution at the upcoming Student Representative Council elections. Both UK, you know what? Student politics is playing at the, it's pretend.
What do
it's
you
like
mean?
Dress up.
It's pretend.
These are student organizations. You should be at university studying.
And
activism is like a sideline issue. You should be doing that in your spare time. And if you are spending most of your time on the SRC talking shit to other students who don't have any importance in society, you're pretending. Pretending to be an adult.
We had a business partner that used to do that. It used to drive us nuts.
Yeah, he used to take it so seriously. Anyway.
I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't take it seriously. But again, a lot of the people that are demonstrating
are
part of political parties. They're not even at the university.
They're demanding urgent meetings with management of both institutions over the National Student Financial Aid Scheme and accommodation. So what they want is a home. They want a home. They want somewhere to live. You know what? You want something to somewhere to live? Go to a hostel. University is not a place to live. It's not your proxy parent.
Gareth, where were you staying while you were staying?
At my parents, which is all I could afford.
Same here. I couldn't go to Cape Town. It was too expensive.
But you wanted to.
Yeah.
Or did you want to be at UCT with the jammies?
But that's not the point. The point is it's at home.
Barefoot on campus.
I'm not saying we were, but that's how did you do it?
Same, at home.
At home.
And I had to pay all of it. I had to pay everything. My parents paid in advance, and then I had to pay them back. Everything.
Your entire...
Everything.
First, the tertiary education.
First, the subjects I'd failed, because those that were...
I always had to pay back the subjects I failed.
And then after that, the rest.
I got a bursary from, in those days, the TED, the Transvaal Education Department.
Oh, right.
And...
Correct.
I failed my two majors in the first year.
Oh, I know. I also did.
So you lost the bursary.
I didn't get a bursary.
I lost the bursary, yeah.
But yeah. No, I had to pay back.
I was playing the fool in the first year.
Well, why is NSFAS owed so much money by all these students if their real interest is to get a degree and get out there and get working? I think they're just looking for something to delay adulthood. They're looking for something to keep them busy so that they don't have to actually pay the bills. And university, let me pay for your accommodation. Okay, cool. Let me pay for your university degree. Okay, cool. Let me pay for your books. Let me pay for your food. It's like a welfare program.
I don't even know.
All I'm saying is that if you're going to give someone a bursary because you believe they had that great potential to be a doctor, then make sure, because they're coming
who
from perhaps a rural area.
Who cares about potential?
No, but
no one else in society has the responsibility to make your potential come to fruition.
Do you agree that people can be given bursaries?
Sure, of course. If you're really talented in a specific area.
Brilliant.
Of course.
But then they need to be taken care of. They've got to have their books given to them. They don't have the money, Gareth. And they can't work. You cannot study to be a doctor and work part-time.
I'm so sorry. Here's a message now from Ange, who says, I started working at 17. I put myself through university. It took me 10 years, but I graduated at 27.
I like what she says at the end.
Fuck them, she says.
Go ahead.
That's what she says.
All right.
Someone else says, I agree 100%. People need to learn a skill. Bring back subscription for at least a year. I think they mean...
Army.
Conscription for at least a year after school.
Oh, no, please. Mm-mm. No, girl. No, I wouldn't have survived.
I think
no.
That's a terrible idea to bring back conscription.
No, please.
Then that means that the state has to pay for you and clothe you and accommodate you, and it's the same thing.
It's the same concept. Yeah.
So I don't like that at
be
all.
Be out in the elements and run and have to, like,
I actually wanted to join the army when I was young.
Why?
Oh, no, I'd rather die.
Daryl says,
I like the idea of it.
Daryl says, teach people how to drive drunk and you solve two problems.
Yeah, Daryl, yeah, I don't know if I want to vote for you.
What I'm saying, Dad, be careful, boy, because one day you'll see you. I've been arrested, actually.
All right. Here's something else to change the subject a little bit. We've got to get to the rest of the five things that you need to know this morning. We've made it through three. Here are the last two. Alan Ford, pay attention. Journalist and former radio presenter Reedy Tlabi wants to cross-examine former president Jacob Zuma. I love Reedy.
She should actually take him on, eh?
Yeah. So she's accused Zuma of harming her reputation during his testimony at the Zondo Commission last week. She's written to the State Capture Commission, chaired by Deputy Justice Raymond Zondo, notifying them of her intention to apply to cross-examine Zuma. I love this.
She'll take him down.
In response to Zuma's testimony, Tlhabi's lawyers said on Monday, our client intends to apply to the Commission in terms of Rule 336 of the Commission's rules to give evidence and cross-examine Mr. Zuma in order to counter the allegations made by him and to ensure that the Commission has all the relevant information before it's, so that it can test the truthfulness of Mr. Zuma's allegations.
Okay, let's not call him Mr. Zuma.
Remember, the former president accused Tlhabi of being part of a group of individuals who've been trying to assassinate his character, including branding him as a rapist.
Please, I want to ask you, have you seen some of the footage? Okay, if you watch Carte Blanche on Sunday, you'd have seen some of it there. That guy's delusional. He is so delusional. The person, you know what, he's a pathological liar, and he actually believes his own stuff. It's insane. It's insane what this man...
I'm still reeling from the shock that you watch Carte Blanche.
I know, I haven't watched it this week. But it's crazy. But really would take him on.
You know, she will. She'll destroy him. Finally, police have arrested two alleged armed robbers who were trapped inside a safe.
Oh, no.
I love this story.
The pair were locked into the safe by one of the employees at the mall during an attempted robbery. That's so clever. You get them to go into the safe. You tell them there's gold in them. There are safes. Mm-hmm. You tell them there's cash. And then once they're in the safe, you lock the door with them in it.
I'd love to know what shop that was. Brilliant.
That's
person.
Fantastic. Isn't that great? Yeah.
See, this is when I'd love to be a fly on the wall in the prison cell. Once again, when everyone has to discuss, why are you in here? What did you do? I killed 6 people. I've stolen 24 cars. Well, I got locked in a safe.
The men were believed to be part of a gang that had been terrorizing workers at the center. Members of the K-9 and flying squad units were called in to break into the safe and arrest the two. Apparently, one of them shot a firearm at the door while trapped inside to try and open it.
Yeah, they're even more stupid. Bounce off, it looks
these,
so off.
These are the stupidest criminals. I want to see their faces in the news.
Well, can I tell you something quickly? It's actually not in the news, but a cameraman of mine was shot 3 or 4 days ago.
Dead?
3 days ago. No, twice in the leg. And a sound guy had a gun.
Out on assignment? Or was
on assignment, on assignment, and shot the robber dead. And,
oh, right.
You know, they were in Menlo Park. They were busy filming for Renault Race on SABC 1. And, you know, the guys get there and they meet there and then they go off to Renovation Race. Okay. And it was opposite 10 in the morning. And my camera guy got shot twice in the leg.
But he shot one of the crooks.
My sound guy had a gun. I don't know. My sound guy had a gun. And he shot him straight in the chest and killed him. But, I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well, that's terrific.
I think that's a good story.
There's a great reason why you should own a gun. And there's proof that if you do own a gun, you can meet force with force when it's required, instead of just being a victim. Our series Guncast has come to an explosive end. In the final episode, which I mediated, Martin Hood was joined by Toluana Kobela from the Gun Safe Cities campaign. Things got a little heated. They debated various aspects of firearm law, gun ownership, the controversial Gun Safe Cities short film. You can bite the bullet and download the full series of Guncast now at cliffcentral.com. on our app or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you don't own a gun, you're a sitting duck.
I think I just...
Do you own a gun?
Yes.
Yeah. I think I just realized why I'm uncomfortable with the idea of owning a gun. It's the idea of killing someone.
Yeah, I don't want to kill anyone.
Yeah, and even if it's self-defense, I can't imagine myself.
My car would so bad I shoot myself.
Terrible, vicious criminal is coming to assault you and perhaps kill you, you will be so grateful to pull that trigger and save yourself the trauma.
And your boyfriend.
I don't know. And maybe I'm too esoteric and woo-woo, but if it's my time, it's my time. If maybe a gun is pulled on me and I'm meant to die, then let it be.
I
really cannot envision myself go, stay away, and a bang, bang. I don't know. It's not in me.
Do you remember do you know who that sounds like? The sweet, nice 21-year-old Ellen Ford. Seriously, blow the brains out of the mother. You know what I'm saying? I am so sick of people doing what they want to do. I mean, my camera crew are busy filming a SABC program at 10:30 on a weekday morning.
Minding their own business.
And they'll be filming. Guys, it's like coming up to you. It's a big rig. And just like, why did they steal our cameras?
Well, I mentioned yesterday that a friend of mine was walking down the street in Cape Town and a guy was following him. And then he crossed the street to get away from this guy. The guy carried on following him. So he knew what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. So he took the first move and he punched the guy in the head and knocked him out and then ran away.
Yeah, clever.
I mean, that's you sometimes have to take action yourself.
Yeah. What I do question, though.
You agree, Google?
No, those are smart people. Alan's sound guy. Alan, your sound guy is literally...
He's a hero.
Yeah, he's
but,
a hero.
But I want to ask this question. Okay, first, I didn't know he was armed. Secondly,
you shouldn't know he's armed.
The scary concept is this, is that if the gun hadn't come out from him, I wasn't there on set, but if the gun hadn't come out, would they have just taken our cameras, which they didn't get, run away, okay, or would Hirsch have been shot twice in the leg? So I'm
or
just
worse,
saying,
or would both of them have been killed?
There are different scenarios, but I do think there is something that if... And it's been proven, if you have a gun and they have a gun, it's more likely there will be some shootout.
Yes, but...
Do you know that?
But, yeah,
but
here's the thing.
Know that you have a gun.
I want criminals to think that there's a possibility that you have a gun, because then they're going to be less likely to strike.
No, if, don't you think if they know that or think you have a gun, they will come prepared?
You're imagining that criminals are these masterminds. Now, look, there are these cash-in-transit gangs who are like military-style operations. But most opportunist criminals are just taking advantage of the fact that they can see a woman on her own, or that there's a guy in a car on his own late at night. Or most of them are just opportunists, like this guy who was following this friend of mine through Cape Town. They see an opportunity to steal, and they're going to take it. They don't expect to be met by force. If you meet them with force, whether it's by hitting them in the head or pulling out your gun when they've got theirs and shooting them dead, I think you're doing the right... I think that this is important. I saw a video the other day of a woman who's driving into her driveway, and the gate is about to close behind her, and this other car comes in, and these guys get out. And she... This is risky. But she reverses her car into theirs and starts smashing it. These guys lose their nerve.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
They lose their nerve. They try to get away. She then chases them and rams into them again. She saved herself in that situation. Now, it doesn't always happen that way. She could have been killed. You know, it's very dangerous. Mm-hmm. But she ended up saving herself. I mean, she might have had kids in the back. This is the best way for a mother to behave. If you've got kids in the back, your survival instinct kicks in for your children. And she probably thought, I can't let these guys take my car with my children in. This may be the reasoning. I don't know. But anyway, they caught these guys. She smashed their car up so they couldn't get away. It was beautiful. It was so good to watch. I felt like I was in there and we'd all won when I saw that video.
The days where Alan Vorge used to speak about anti-death penalties gone. Goodbye. You want to take someone's life?
You've become very coarse.
I know. Hey, what's wrong? But it's in the 40s it's happening.
All right, a couple of other comments that have come in here. Unrelated, but just wanted to say it's raining in Cape Town so much. That's from Riet. Yeah, I believe it's the... And listen, there's a cold front, a double cold front, they say, coming.
To Joburg.
Well, there's going to be snow in the Western Cape tonight, apparently, and in parts of the rest of the country. So get ready. Greg says, Putu I sounds like a pooty tang can have what a te sada te. Yes, that's exactly... I completely agree.
He summed it all up,
good
really.
Good point. Fundo says, most of these guys in the SRC, they just never received any academics in high school. Being activists in universities, the closest they can get to mattering at all. Fundo's spot on.
Similar to Instagram people.
I've seen these groups in UNISA, Durban campus, over the past years of studying, because Fundo studied there, and he clearly doesn't have a lot of time for these SRC types. Kids need skills, says someone else. And then Dr. Robin says, sorry, Alan, I studied medicine and I worked a part-time job.
Apologies, Robin.
And when I specialized, I worked a second job too. Apologize again.
Apologize, Robin. Yeah.
Right, thank you. Does Alan Ford always refer to Alan Ford as Alan Ford?
No. That's cute. No.
And then this is a nice one. This is from Fabian. Fabian says, I just finished listening to the Johnny Clegg interview and just wanted to thank you for making it happen. For the platform allowing Johnny to tell his story without interruption, but most importantly, for your interview ability to bring out the raw side of Johnny Clegg. This interview was really powerful. I was on the verge of tears when he started singing The Short Chance. This was one of the most authentic things I've ever heard and I've had the honor of listening to. So thank you, Fabian. That's really nice. Yeah, I saw the most incredible video yesterday on this matter of Johnny singing the last time he publicly performed at a golf event. Did you hear about this?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
It's beautiful. Just, let me play this for you quickly.
Okay, I'm just going to put this into Western tuning.
Because Johnny was performing at he's bald at this point. He started going into chemo. This is in 2018. I think it's September, October 2018. So, you know, late last year. And that was really one of the last performances and public appearances he made. But I just thought this was beautiful because you can hear the voices ailing a little bit. But it's just haunting. And by the way, they're playing Johnny Clegg in every shop at the moment. Mm. Beautiful, right?
I saw him 2 months ago at Benmore Garden Shopping Centre because he lived in the area. And
really? Two months ago? Huh?
And he had a balaclava, like a hoodie on.
Yeah.
And he really, really was sick and emancipated.
You mean emaciated?
Emaciated.
He was.
Sorry. Emaciated. Shut up. And we're having a
just
sensitive
ruined.
Moment.
I mean, we just yeah. ruined Alan's sensitive moment. Yeah.
Sorry. And hush, I got the wrong word there. But he, yeah, and I went to say hi to him. But he could see he was really sick. But
that's horrible.
Sad.
But not to sound morbid and labor the point more, but there's something also beautiful about a terminal illness that gives you a level of grace that you wouldn't have ordinarily had. You know, he knew that the end was coming. He said goodbye to his fans with this final tour with dignity. He tied up all of these loose ends. And
yeah, it's elegant.
It was a final bow.
It's very elegant.
There's
yeah.
something
it's
nice
not like
about
you,
that.
Your last tweet was
fuck
speeding,
the police.
On, speeding on the highway, YOLO. You know?
Listen, you make a very good point. Then that's why there's always a debate. Do you want someone to die in it like immediately, quickly? Or is having an illness where you can actually, exactly as you said, close those.
I think for the people who are around you, it's not easy to see you,
right.
You know,
okay,
slowly
you,
drag
you people
off,
making this morbid. I'm okay. going to blame you. All right.
I never said it.
Lots of other good stuff to get to in a short while. a couple of interesting things going on Twitter and Instagram that we need to talk about, and some news stories which are of a more serious nature and sometimes a little more ridiculous. All of that and more on the way, and you can stick around for that the next hour. CliffCentral.com. It is Tuesday morning. Alan Ford's with us. Leanne Moll. Sia Sangweni and you. And Gugu and I.
This is CliffCentral.com.